Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears, kicking off your work week here, Monday, November 22nd, a short work week, by the way, 2021, 11:22:21, 17 minutes past the hour, and we've got a very interesting subject kicking off the morning this morning. Last week, as many of you know, it was decided that no charges would be brought against former city auditor Robert Landon. And when that news came out, a lot of people were confused by this, and newspaper articles were written and things of that nature. And I wanted somebody to come on and kind of explain how this process happened, because there were a lot of questions after this, maybe more than there would be in a normal situation. So this morning, we can kind of unpack this and get to the bottom of it. Now, it was written up in many periodicals, the whole story, and I'm just going to give you a paraphrase of something that was written up, just to kind of give everybody a taste for what happened, in case you don't get the newspaper, or maybe it's not something that's on your radar at this point. But here's basically what the final result was. Crawford County Prosecutor Matthew Crawl has completed his investigation into potential criminal charges against former city auditor Robert Landon. The investigation stemmed from long-running disputes between Landon and the city council. Landon made several critical errors in running city business that resulted in hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines and penalties. At one point, Marion was under threat of seizure of assets from the IRS. Federal grant monies were put at risk, invoices were unpaid, more issues surfaced after Landon resigned and then tried to rescind his resignation. Marion prosecutor Ray Grogan asked Crawl to look over the allegations for criminal charges. In his summary, Crawl told Grogan, now I don't know if this was I think this was in a letter, so I don't know that he necessarily told him this, but this is what came about at the end from Matt Crawl. No criminal charges should be charged out of this never-ending saga between Marion City officials. The information provided to me does not warrant criminal charges, as the allegations cannot be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Obviously, it would be within your authority to refer this matter to the appropriate authorities for misdemeanor or federal charges. My recommendation is that this evaluation end this lengthy chapter. Mr. Landon may have been incompetent or in a situation where he could not succeed. Either way, in my opinion, the constituents of Marion are best served by closing this matter with Mr. Landon's resignation, which occurred on October 18th, 2021, and that's Matt Crawl. Now, very kindly joining us this morning is somebody who has always come on when I've asked them to. He's a straight shooter as far as I'm concerned, because he's always been that way with me, and I know he will explain this morning and help us all in a way learn, because to educate and inform, that's why we're here, and I appreciate him for coming on in this holiday week. Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan. Ray, how you doing?
Doing very well, Scott. Thank you very much for having me on, and it's always a pleasure to be on.
Well, you know, Ray, this was very interesting last week when this, we didn't know when this would come back, and when it came back, let's just start here. There was a lot of confusion, not only among the public, but city officials. Did you find that to be true, and were you surprised?
I did. Ultimately, I think, given that the circumstances surrounding the entire situation are so unique, I think there was, I'm sure, a great deal of confusion, and I'm sure a great deal of, excuse me, uncertainty. And so I can certainly understand if, you know, the entire situation left some people scratching their heads. I think that's probably a common reaction when people hear the entirety of the story.
Ray, I just kind of want to start here at the beginning and go through this so everybody understands and everybody gets to how we where we got last week. How was it that Matthew Krall was chosen to look at this case? How did that all? Why did that happen?
So my office became involved when we received an email from Robert Landon requesting essentially an investigation to what he believed to be a potential theft of his mail. And Mr. Landon believed this to be a felony-level offense, and as my office is in charge of felony prosecutions in the county, he sent an email to us, it was on October 7th that he sent that email to us, asking us to get involved. Ultimately, given the politics involved, given that there was going to be numerous people who hold local elected office and involved in this matter, Councilman Josh Daniels, Robert Landon, and various witnesses who, as the story unfolded, were city officials, I made the decision to have somebody else come in, take a look at this, just so that there wouldn't even be the appearance that there were politics at play. I appreciate you calling me a straight shooter. I like to think I am. Quite frankly, my position doesn't allow for politics like some of the other elected positions do. And so to get away from all of that completely, I called on Matt Krall, who has served as a special prosecutor for my office before, and I have served as a special prosecutor for his office before, and he ultimately agreed. Judge Edwards signed an entry that gave Matt Krall the same authority that I would have in appointing him a special prosecutor, and that's really how it came about. From that point on, once that entry was signed, all of the communication between law enforcement and the prosecutor went through Mr. Krall. So I have been, in my office has been out of the loop, so to speak, until, of course, we received the opinion from Matt Krall, outlining what his findings were and quite frankly, what his thoughts were about the whole situation.
Well, that was interesting because, as you say, you wanted to take yourself out of this and not make it look political. And yet even, and I was reading over this last night, it was interesting because Mr. Krall had to address that he did not have any bias in this because I guess he had been Facebook friends, and that's the world we live in, I guess, now, that he had been Facebook friends with Robert Landon and that he had deleted that when this started, and he's a Republican and Landon's a Republican and the fix was in, and that's, he even had to address that in this, and I thought that was interesting. Is that normal procedure?
Well, I certainly wouldn't say it's normal procedure, but I think given the... I'm so sorry, Scott. I'm sorry to your listeners if they listen to me cough. Given the circumstances as we had them, you know, you have a former Democratic member of council who's now an independent. You have a Republican city auditor. You have a Republican county prosecutor in me asking another Republican county prosecutor in Matt Krall to get involved. So I think given the nature of the investigation and what he anticipated, may be some concerns from some folks, is why he put it in there. he just to make sure everybody understood that, you know, this is coming from a place of dispassion. This is coming from a place of just a cold, hard look at the facts and what can be proven and what can't. And so in this case has nothing to do with politics.
In hindsight, knowing, I guess, that this Facebook friendship was obviously enough to mention, would it have been better in hindsight to appoint somebody, a Democrat, somebody who was not on Robert Landon's Facebook page? Would that have lifted the total question of bias in this case?
I I don't think so. I mean, first of all, you know, the issue becomes you have to find another prosecutor who is willing to do it. And so, you know, when you look around us, you know, to our west, we have Brad Bailey, who's a Republican. To our east, we have Mr. Smith, who's a Republican. To our south, we have Melissa Schiffel, who's a Republican. To our north, we have Doug Rowland, who is a Republican. So, you know, it's... You know, whether they are Facebook friends with him or not, I don't know. As he explains in his letter, Matt is Facebook friends, whatever that means, with quite a few local elected officials, and so I don't think that is a quite frankly, I didn't think it was a big deal.
Now, when it comes to the charges that Matt Kroll was looking at, it's theft of mail, intimidation of a public official, obstruction of justice, and falsification, and those were, I believe, the four charges that were being looked at. So, for anybody who's listening, why could there be no charges drawn from those issues?
Well, so, and I want to be very clear. What Matt did in this situation was look at potential felony-level charges. And so he certainly leaves open, I think as you mentioned just shortly before I came on, the possibility that misdemeanor charges could still come of it, although he recommends against that. He looked at the situation, looked at the investigation, looked at what was provided to him, and ultimately drew some conclusions about felony-level offenses for theft of mail, obstructing justice, falsification, and intimidation, things of that nature, and ultimately concluded that there just was not enough evidence to demonstrate or to be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt a felony-level offense, and as a result of that, he's not going to be pursuing that. When we received this, I could tell you what we're going to be doing is taking this letter and the other items and asking that the matter be sent over to Mark Russell, and he can make whatever decisions he wants to with respect to misdemeanor prosecutions. I think, as you read, Mr. Kroll makes clear what his position is, that this ought to close the matter, but nevertheless, whether misdemeanor charges come or not is Mr. Russell's call. So
at this point, would you call this an exoneration?
No, in the sense that the matter's still going to be referred onward. What Matt Kroll was able to determine based on a reading of this is that he being Robert Landon, there's no evidence to demonstrate that he committed a felony-level offense. I think what this is a situation where, it's, and I forget how he phrases it here. I'm going to scroll down to the bottom here, and he refers to this as a never-ending saga between the city of Marion officials. And I think that's really, you have to look no further than some of the Marion Star articles that have been written about this, your reporting on this, you know, the interviews you've done with folks with respect to this this matter, and it really is just that. Quite frankly, whether it's an exoneration or not, I think is secondary to the fact that we all just kind of need to move on from here. Whatever decision Mr. Russell makes with respect to misdemeanors he'll make, with respect to the city moving on, the residents of the city having faith in their government, that the government is acting appropriately and every of the elected officials are doing their jobs, They deserve that, and we ought to be moving toward that really, really quickly.
I want to talk about this final paragraph, because there are several things in here that were interesting to a lot of people, and this final paragraph has been printed in a few periodicals online and in newspapers. Now, we heard about the misdemeanor charges, that could still go to Mark Russell, and he would make that decision, but it also talks about federal charges. What would that be, and who would be making that decision?
Well, I mean, I suppose we could refer this on to the federal government with respect to the mail charges, but I think given the findings that Matt Kroll makes in his legal opinion to me, quite frankly, I just don't think it's warranted. There's absolutely no evidence anybody stole the mail, quite frankly.
So that being said, I think that's the conundrum in this whole thing for a lot of people who've listened to the coverage, is that I don't think anybody from city council, be it a Republican, Democrat, anybody in the city, ever thought that Robert Landon stole any money, or stole any mail, but that Robert Landon thought that somebody stole his mail, that Josh Daniels stole his mail. So why would there have ever been any charges against Robert Landon for mail theft to begin with? Nobody ever accused him of that.
Well, I don't think the crux of that investigation with respect to the mail, I think was Robert Landon was the one who made the allegation that somebody must have stolen his mail, because otherwise how would it have ended up on Councilman Daniels' Facebook page? I don't think he was the subject of that investigation. I think he was the complainant, if you will.
So because headlines are interesting, and I think you and I have talked about this a lot, that, you know, the media really does do try their best, I think. I don't think anybody's doing anything intentionally. But when the headline reads, Robert Landon exonerated of all charges, when I read this all the way through, some of these charges really had nothing to do with him.
He
was the one who was asking that the charges be pressed.
Well, that's right, and I think that's a very good distinction to make. The crux of the investigation is encompass the entire situation, right? So did somebody steal the mail? Did somebody intimidate somebody? And ultimately, was somebody not truthful with respect to the falsification, or did somebody obstruct justice by doing something that hindered the law enforcement officials in their investigation? And I think that there was the possibility that there were other individuals who may have committed criminal offenses, and it turns out, looking at Matt Krall's opinion here, that just does not appear that happened. And so I think, given all of that, it is confusing, because it wasn't just the conduct of Robert Landon that was being looked at, it was the conduct of several different people.
Now, the first sentence, which you referred to in this final paragraph here, no criminal charges should be charged out of this never-ending saga between Marion city officials. Now, I don't know if Matt Krall meant that as an opinion, but it's certainly, when you use the word never-ending saga between Marion city officials, that comes off as an opinion. Do you have any idea what he was referring to there? I mean, obviously they don't get along, or didn't get along. We could clearly see that.
Sure.
But it wasn't really, I didn't see a whole lot of name-calling in the media. Maybe it was being done behind closed doors. It seemed to be, the issue with the IRS and the fines, and then there was the whole thing with the gift cards in the mayor's office and the auditor's office and things of that nature, but the never-ending saga, is that normal for a prosecutor to put that in?
I don't know if it's normal, but I think prosecutors they're human beings, and so we have opinions when we look at certain facts that things will either resonate with us or not. And so I think I don't know exactly what he meant by that, but I think if I had to guess, it's probably, issues concerning, Mr. Landon, certain members of council, the law director's office, and Mr. Landon with respect to the charges that were filed before he became the city auditor, kind of all of it, if I had to guess. That's what I thought of when I read that sentence, is that, this, for a long time, it has seemed as though the city auditor's office and city council have not been on the same page, so to speak. And so I think that's ultimately what the impression that I took from it. And then when you couple it with the, you know, with the remaining portions of it is, listen, the guy resigned. He resigned on October 18th, and that ought to end it, and we all just need to kind of move forward from this here. You know, again, Mr. Russell will have to make whatever decisions he wants to make with respect to misdemeanor prosecutions of Mr. Landon or anybody else for that matter. But what I took away from the opinion was that the city needs to move on from this, and we all need to, you know, just put it behind us.
There is one other line in here that I want to talk about, because, again, this, again, is an interesting line when you read it, and, again, was printed a lot of places. Mr. Landon may have been incompetent or in a situation where he could never succeed. What does that say to you?
It says that at least in Mr. Kroll's opinion, from his perspective, there were perhaps deficiencies in the way that Mr. Landon performed his job duties. And, you know, when you couple that with the political environment that Mr. Landon was in, you know, in either instance, you know, it's this chapter needs to end, is how I read it.
Now, as we are looking through all of this, if you read into the report, and correct me if I'm wrong about any of this, at one point during this whole mail theft thing, I think Auditor Landon, he was still auditor at the time, was asking different sources about the idea that the mail was stolen. And I think Matt Kroll says at one point, it seems as if Auditor Landon doesn't understand that several people are telling him that there was no mail to steal. Did I read that wrong?
He references the specifically Matt Kroll references emails between then Auditor Landon and somebody from the Ohio Public Works Commission. And yeah, he makes mention that it does appear that Mr. Landon did not really understand the process, and that if you look at the emails, it was pretty clear that he used the terms, he lacks a good understanding of the process. Yeah, you got the impression that Robert Landon just really didn't know how to go about paying this particular bill and how that particular invoice was generated and how he was to receive it, quite frankly.
Now, kind of the fallout was the interesting thing, and because I say, as said in the beginning, you know, you always come on, and I know I can trust the answers that you give. The fallout from this was there was a mention in this that before this was turned over to Matt Kroll, that Robert Landon had reached out to you. And what was the tenor of that whole exchange that was going on?
So he sent me the email, as I referenced before, explaining that he wanted my office to look into that. I didn't respond to that email. He also sent me a text message after I had appeared at City Council. I believe it was on the 11th of October. So he sent me two text messages that I didn't respond to that effectively expressed his displeasure with me for some reason, which I found confusing. And it was shortly after that, that evening, that I called him and had a conversation with him and explained to him that I would be referring this matter to a special prosecutor. Because, again, my job as an investigator and as a prosecutor is apolitical. I view facts dispassionately, and I make charging decisions based on the facts that I have in front of me, much like Mr. Kroll did here. That's it. That's my job. And so given just the nature of that, coupled with everything else, and quite frankly, coupled with the fact that, you know, my office had not taken action based on his October 7th email to us, I just said, you know what, we need to get a special prosecutor here, because this this all seems very, very political, and quite frankly, I want no part of it.
What was that, what his displeasure was in you, that nothing had come of it?
No, his displeasure with me was that he perceived comments that I had made at city council that evening to be in some way or form against him. I didn't think anything that I had said warranted that reaction, but that was his perception. And so so given that, coupled with all the other facts and circumstances, the next day I filed to have a special prosecutor appointed.
I guess you can say anything you want to anybody, but is that an appropriate thing to do, who at that time, he was a sitting official, to reach out to the prosecutor and make comments like that through text and through email? Is that a normal thing to do, an appropriate thing to do?
Well, the email, I think, was okay in the sense that he's asking our office to get involved because he perceived there to be a criminal offense that was involved that was a felony. That I perceived to be, fine. The text message Monday evening, I thought was inappropriate. I called him and explained to him I thought he had made this thing entirely too political, and as a result of that, I wanted no part of it and wasn't going to be dealing with it. And that's exactly what we did. And as a result of that, I went and asked for Matt Krull to be appointed because, I didn't think it was appropriate.
When it comes to this whole situation, one of the ongoing themes of, I guess, maybe the saga as it was referred to, is that it seemed as if, for example, his own deputy auditor, when he resigned, then he came back and fired Martin Watts at that time. And there were several statements that were sent to the media toward the end of his term that the mayor was out to get him, city council was out to get him, and now we hear about comments that were you made that you did not feel were inappropriate at all. He thinks you're against him. Do you think there's a little bit of paranoia on Robert Landon's behalf?
Here's what I think. I mean, quite honestly, I think that the fact that he was charged on Election Day in 2019 really set the tone, I think, moving forward. That's just my opinion. I think those are the facts. The bottom line is Robert Landon, before he even took office, the law director had charged him with a crime. And I think there was certainly a perception, if I had to guess, that he did not, think that his co-equal city officials were going to be working with him collaboratively. And, I think when you couple that with the fact that there were certain missteps made by him in completing his tasks and his jobs, Matt Krull talks about some of them in his legal opinion to me, where, for example, this invoice, apparently they sent the invoice in question, they had sent him some emails with regard to the Ohio Public Works Commission had sent the emails, and Robert had never opened them. So I think when you couple it all together and put it all together, I think Robert resigning on 18th was the absolute right thing to do, and I think the city and its residents need to move on as a result of that.
Not necessarily in the term of criminal charges or really anything illegal, but the citizens of Marion had an interesting reaction to this. This seemed to be something that was not political. Maybe some things are. But I think what's going on right now is there's this over $150,000 fine that I believe the city now has paid. I think they're trying to recoup some of this that led back from, led in the past to the mispayment to the IRS that was done by Robert Landon. And then we hear things, and it's mentioned in this letter about, letters not being opened, not understanding how bills were coming to the office, that they weren't coming by mail. After he left the position, that they found things in there where the IRS had threatened to seize the city's funds. Thank goodness that didn't happen for them. But that the city was never aware of that, that the rejection, I guess there had been a repeal filed to get rid of these fines with the IRS by Robert Landon. The IRS had denied that. That was never given to the city. Based on all that, as a citizen of Marion, do you think there's a reason to be upset? Because I think that's where a lot of this, people were confused. They looked at that and they said, well, how in the world could this person not have any charges filed against them after hearing all of this stuff?
Yeah, I first of all, to answer your question, do people have the right to be upset? Yeah, of course. As I understand it, and again, I wasn't at the city council meeting. I only know what I read in the Marion Star, but the city is facing an assessment of some sort from the IRS to the tune of $160,000. You know, that's with between salary and benefits, that's at least two police officers. You know, yeah, absolutely, they have the right to be upset. I'm upset. It's maddening. It really is. And you know, and you hear allegations made. I think the mayor had alluded to some of this when he was on your program a week or so ago. But you know, of things that were found where, you know, some of these assessments, we kind of knew they were on the horizon, and then, you know, nobody tells city council and so on. So yeah, I think given all of that, for sure, people are absolutely justified in being upset. I'm upset. I pay city income taxes. I live in the county. I live in Pleasant Township, but I pay city income taxes, and you know, I expect my government, the city government, to run effectively and operationally to be efficient. And to hear that the city of Marion has to pay $160,000, you know, just out the window, you know, not towards its obligations under the IRS code for you know, payroll withholdings and things, but because of taxes or assessments or whatever, penalties and interest or taxes and assessments. Yeah, of course it's maddening. And so, you know, I think absolutely people are justified in being upset about that. With respect to the, you know, charging decisions and things like that, there is no law in Ohio that says you can charge somebody just because they're bad at their job, an elected official. And I think Robert Landon did the right thing when he resigned. I think he did the right thing, quite frankly, for his family and for himself. I think he did the right thing for our community to let everybody move on from this. But I think, you know, in terms of criminal charges, again, we, as prosecutors, we have to look at facts and circumstances without passion or prejudice and make determinations about the strength of the evidence and what does this show. And from this legal opinion that I got from Matt Kroll, which is 9 pages long, indicates to me that that's exactly what Mr. Kroll did. He did exactly what I asked him to do. And, you know, quite frankly, the matter will now be sent over to Mark Russell for him to make some determinations. But, you know, we can't just charge people because we're mad. We can't just charge people with criminal offenses because we don't think they did a good job. We have to look at the facts and circumstances and make dispassionate decisions about the evidence in front of us.
The postscript to this is kind of interesting. And maybe I'm using the wrong term here, but maybe this added kerosene to the fire because I really think that, as you have said, you tried to act as non-political as possible. Matt Kroll, same thing. But when this is all over, and we know what the decision was from Matt Kroll last week, Robert Landon released a statement on social media, and it's very short, but I don't think he spoke to the Star, and he didn't speak to us, and I don't know of anybody he did speak to, but he put the newspaper article up there, and what he said was simply this. He said, "Exonerated again from the endless attacks by the mayor, Democrats, on city council, and the law director. I must live rent-free in their heads because they are obsessed with me and have tried everything they can to destroy me. Yet here I stand." What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, as we've seen from Matt Kroll's opinion letter. There are not going to be any felony charges that result from this. And Matt Kroll goes a step further and says, listen, his recommendation is that his evaluation, which was very, very in-depth, you know, and I'm reading right now from it, end this lengthy chapter. Quite frankly, I agree with him in that assessment. But ultimately, misdemeanor charges are not my purview. Those are Mark Russell's. I don't know what to make of it. I think sometimes we post opinions on social media that I don't know whether that's a good thing or not. Certainly, looking at this opinion letter and the reporting that was done, it would certainly seem that Mr. Landon, that Robert has, made me feel good about it. I guess that's what he was trying to communicate.
And I think, in a way, that's where the political question came about. And maybe even why Mr. Kroll, before that happened, was trying to explain why he did not have a bias. Because, it all goes through this. We find out what criminal charges are. But then there's a statement by a person involved that I think people would say that statement is very political.
From Robert Landon?
From Robert Landon, yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I think... certainly his statements were dripping with politics. And quite frankly, as a private citizen now, he's allowed to do that. So
the end result here, just so we can be very clear on everything and everybody listening can be very clear, when it comes to this whole situation, do you feel, now that you've looked over all the information, that this was a Republican versus Democrat thing when it came to Robert Landon, and that there was really nothing going on besides that it was the Democrats on city council and the law director and the mayor out to get him?
No, I think this was in a situation that involved people of different political parties, and public officials of different political parties. But I, looking over the opinion letter from Matt Kroll, and what I have gleaned from it, as political as the situation is, I think, excuse me, the crux of this really boils down to relationship and actions of particular individuals, regardless of their political affiliation.
And the final thing in regard to this particular matter is it comes down to this word, because for a long time people on city council have been saying that Robert Landon just did not know how to do his job. And as you said earlier, Matt Kroll says it in the final paragraph there. We don't really exactly know what he means, but he does use the word incompetent in that paragraph. And you said you feel that Robert Landon did the best thing by stepping down, and that taxpayers have a right to be angry because of all the fines and not knowledge of how situations were going, were piling up. As one of those taxpayers, do you think he was incompetent? This is the word. Is that what this boiled down to? Politics are politics, elections are elections, and obviously criminal charges are criminal charges. But in the end, was this just about somebody who was incompetent in their position? Would there have been a way for him to succeed if nobody had ever thought about politics in this?
It's a difficult question to answer, and here's why I say that. I think Robert is a smart guy. I think I think the situation that he came into with the election day charges, I think, was put him. Again, this is all speculation. I don't know any of this, but ultimately put him in a situation where he has been. He was charged with a crime before he took office but by the same person he's now going to have to work with. And, I think that was unfortunate. And I think that's certainly not an excuse. but my guess is that it probably made him less likely to ask questions of other city officials. And, you know, I took over as county prosecutor when I was 34 years old. And thank the Lord, I had Brent Yeager's former staff here that I could run to and ask questions to and run things by and so on. And the advice that they gave me was invaluable. And so I think when you go into a job such as city auditor, it is a highly technical job. And, you know, it does appear that there were obvious missteps by Robert Landon, and taxpayers are paying for it now. But you wonder if he would have felt more apt to ask questions of others in city government, as opposed to feeling as if, you know, he was sort of out on an island. And those, unfortunately, are questions we'll never know the answers to. So, what I will say is this. He clearly, made several missteps while he was city auditor, and the city taxpayers are paying for that now.
And you feel, because of those missteps, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that personally you feel that him resigning was the best thing to do?
Without question, yeah. I think, 160,000 in assessments, like as you said, the gift card issue with respect to the person at his office who was a victim of a crime. Excuse me, let's make no mistake about that, but there were clearly issues there. And now this invoice, which was paid late, and the other findings from Matt Kroll. Yeah, I think given the circumstances, it was absolutely in everybody's interest, particularly the citizens of the city of Marion, for Robert to resign.
And just to tie a knot in that, and I think that alone, that statement kind of gets us away from the political nature that we are in, because that's another thing that has been, weighing in our heads, is was this political? And I think a lot of people will believe it was. But hearing this, I think, helps maybe dissuade that a little bit. When we come to the end, did any of these Democratic councilmen or the mayor or anybody of that nature, did they have, were they trying to file charges against Robert? Because that's not really clear to me in this letter. Robert tried to get in touch with you. You referred it to Matt Kroll. Did any Democrat ever come in here and say, we want him charged with something?
Well, as Matt talks about in his letter, and I think it's on page 4 of his opinion, he says, as no allegation of force or unlawful threat of harm was alleged by council member Daniels, no allegation of intimidation or retaliation could be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. excuse me. So it does appear from reading the letter. Again, once Matt Kroll was appointed, I did not do anything with respect to the investigation or have any involvement with law enforcement. So, but I read that to suggest that perhaps Councilman Daniels believed he may have been the victim of a criminal offense, and so I can only assume that he came forward and expressed that.
So when we look at this all, because I think as the media, at least I want to try to get this right, when the headlines were last week, Robert Landon not charged with anything, was there really ever a danger of that? I mean, I guess it could have happened, but he was the one who thought there had been crimes, it sounds like, and from reading it myself, that he felt that there were crimes committed by other people. So it would seem to me that the headlines would just be no charges against anybody. Is that more to the point, or am I reading that wrong?
No, I think you hit it right on the head, and I think this was an investigation about the conduct of several people, quite frankly. And Matt Kroll does a pretty thorough job, a very thorough job, quite frankly, of analyzing the conduct of everybody involved, and his determination is that no charges should result from that.
So, and final question here, and I appreciate the time this morning, Ray, because I do think this has helped a lot. I know that it's been made privately, and I don't know if it'll ever be made publicly, but if somebody should say, those Republicans who are all friends got together, and that's why Robert Landon did not get charged, why is that an untrue statement?
Because right from the get-go, the moment that I believed that this could be even viewed as political, I recused my office from it. Matt Kroll, excuse me, is he a Republican? Yes, but so is every county prosecutor in any adjacent county. Matt did a thorough job, looked at the facts, and has made determinations that there should be absolutely no felony charges that come from this. And quite frankly, his opinion is that no charges should come, period. I'm going to refer, again, as another example of the fact that there is no politics at play here, I am going to be taking this report and everything else that we've received, and I'm going to forward it to Mark Russell, a Democrat, and he can make determinations about misdemeanor charges. And I think it's yet another demonstration of the fact that this has absolutely nothing to do with politics and has everything to do with conduct of a particular individual.
But before we part ways here, with 30 seconds left to go, how do you describe Robert Landon in one word? I mean, he became such a public person, maybe more well-known than he would want to be because of this last year. What's the word we describe him as at the end? He's now resigned, no criminal charges.
I don't know if I can pick one word. Here's what I can tell you, and I can keep it brief. I campaigned with him in the first ward when he ran for city council back in 2017. That guy worked his tail off. He talked with every constituent who would come to the door and talk to him. And as a one-term city council member, knocked off an incumbent who had been in office for several terms. Which is why all of this is so, it's remarkable. The way that this has all turned out, because I really did believe that he had so much promise as a young elected official, and quite frankly, you know what? Maybe this opens up a new path for him, and he can go do something else. And God bless him. I hope that all works out for him. I think that the situation he found himself in was unfortunate. And so I would say unfortunate if I had to pick one word as I'm talking through it.
Should he run for office again?
I would defer to him. What I would tell you is if he does, he's going to have a lot of questions to answer.
Very interesting. Ray, it's always a pleasure to have you on. It's sometimes these conversations are not the most cheery in the world.
Well, yeah, but I tell you what, between this and you know, the times we've discussed Warner, maybe someday we can come on and I can talk about, I don't know, something fun.
But we can talk about baseball or something.
That would be perfect.
Easier. Happy Thanksgiving to you
Likewise.
And your family, Ray. I appreciate that, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Scott. Take care, my friend.
Bye-bye. We'll be back after this break. Don't go anywhere.
Marge Hazelwood has led a life of service. She worked as a professor at The Ohio State University at Marion for over 50 years and served on many